Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
Here we go. We're starting. I'm just going to jump right into it because we were chatting. You were talking about being a little bit nervous, but this is how we do things. We are going to jump right into things. Sal, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. All about messy and perfect action. So here for this.
That's what we're doing. First off, thank you for joining me today. I'm excited for our chat. We have talked quite a bit on social media, and I really like your message and things. And so first off, for context for people who do not know you, typically what I say is whenever you meet somebody at a bar or at a restaurant or whatever, just for the first time, kind of how do you introduce yourself?
Well, I'm an introvert, so I kind of don't. I'm kidding. Okay. My name is Sal. I use she, her pronouns. I'm the founder and CEO of Stronger Girls. That is a digital strength community for women, by women, that I started as a result of my own strength journey. Realized that I started caring more about the numbers on the barbell and less about the numbers on the scale. And I wanted to share that sort of message and experience with others. So that is what I do now.
Isn't that good? I like that was a perfect little like elevator pitch. I feel like you've done this before. That was good. All right, cool. So yes, first, I love that message, and we're definitely going to get into that message as this conversation unfolds. But I do want to give a little bit more context, not only for the listeners, but for myself on just your background, because like I was telling you right before this, I purposefully did not do tons of research on you because I like to be surprised in these conversations as well to kind of be there with the listener. So I think it probably makes the most sense. How did you first get into the fitness industry? Did you go to college and you're like, hey, I'm going to study this, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to end up being where I am today? Or kind of how did that all start?
All right, so I'm going to bring you like way back.
Do it. We're here.
So I am originally from Morocco. My parents moved here when I was about 2 years old, and grew up in the States, basically. Grew up in the States in Morocco. And when you grow up in like an African Muslim household, it's just like, you know, hard work, school, discipline, like that's a thing. You're either a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure when you grow up. And there is no between.
Did you have siblings?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm kidding. If they're listening to this, I love y'all.
There you go.
They would get it. Yeah, I have two younger sisters. They're twins. But growing up, I wasn't particularly active. I mean, I did like Taekwondo for fun, took a couple dance classes, still can't dance to this day. But the summer before I started high school, I took swim lessons because I didn't know how to swim. So I was like the oldest kid in the pool. Like, I think I was like 14. How old are you? Like first year of high school?
Yeah, that sounds about right. 14, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I learned how to swim, walked onto the swim team, somehow made it. And I swam varsity all 4 years of high school.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, I kind of like this fitness thing, this exercise thing. I like just like seeing my swim times get faster, my form improving.
Were you, sorry, I'm going to cut you off. This is just how the podcast goes. I just cut people off because okay. I like to know these little tiny details because sometimes it unlocks other things. But like, were you lifting for the swim team? Were you doing any type of formal exercise, or was it basically like skill training for swimming?
No, just skill training for swimming. We did a lot of dry land practice where we ran.
Got it.
There were weight room sessions, but I never went to any of them, and I can't remember if it was because I was too intimidated by the weight room or if I just like didn't care and like skipped them. Cause I was like, this isn't going to help me swim. But like looking back, I'm like, that would have like helped me become like Michael Phelps out here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so after that, you were on the swim team, and then like, when did you get into the weight room?
Yeah. So the weight room happened in college. So I got to college, didn't have like that structured swim environment anymore. Was really stressed. I was like at a pretty like intense school. So I kind of just like ate my feelings, right? Like I wasn't being active. I was eating my feelings, started gaining weight, like 10 pounds and then like 20 pounds and then, like 40 pounds. Next thing I knew, I was like 50, 60 pounds heavier than I was when I first started college. And I like didn't recognize myself in the mirror. Like I struggled to like walk up the stairs, like my joints ached. It was just like, I didn't feel like me. And I was like, I need to change something. I was also pretty severely depressed. And I was just like walking around life with like undiagnosed depression and anxiety. And I was like, why does my life suck so much? So I started going to therapy. And therapist had me on like every medication out there. And things weren't improving. So we added in like walks, slight improvement. We added meditation, slight improvement. And I was like, are there any other like behavioral things that I can do to improve my mental health condition? Cause like, I can't live like this. She was like, why don't you try exercising? So I took the next logical step. I joined a powerlifting gym.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's not the next step for most people, honestly, but I think that that's amazing. Was it just like a local place? Like, how did you get involved with powerlifting?
Yeah. So I was like, I need to learn how to lift. I started doing some research and then I learned about like compound movements, squat, bench, deadlift. I think I did like a Yelp search and I was like, weightlifting gym.
Okay.
And I found a few back home in Brooklyn. So I ended up commuting from where I lived. I was at Columbia University. I would commute like an hour and 15 minutes to go to the gym, learn how to lift, and then go back to school.
Yeah. Wow.
That was like my little like sanctuary. It was like my me time. And in like the process of learning how to lift, hitting PRs all the time. Cause like when you're a newbie, you're running like a linear periodization.
Right.
Every time you go to the gym, it's a PR. You're like, oh, I like PR'd my squat today. I PR'd my bench. Like that felt really good. And I started working with like a macro coach on like tracking macros. So then I started to lose weight, which was like a cool like benefit, but it wasn't like the reason that I started it. Like it was all for like my mental health and like that sort of thing.
It was a byproduct.
It's a byproduct, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so what year? I also like to give timelines. I want to know like when did the depression kind of start, and then when did you start the weightlifting, and when did you actually start to notice like a noticeable improvement in your overall mental health from that?
So the way I like to describe my depression is my baseline is always like a somewhat sad, right? Mm. Some days I'm like a little more sad. Some days I'm a little sad, but I can pretty much guarantee that if I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have some level of sadness. And that's just how my life is. Like that's my normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always felt like that, but it wasn't until I got to college and just like, you know, like an intense course load, working three jobs, just like trying to like keep my head above water and like get good grades. That was when like shit just hit the fan. I was like, I am so depressed. I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah.
So that was like when it was at its worst.
Was your family still in Morocco at this time? What I'm wondering is, did you have a big support system in New York?
So my family was in New York at this time, but like in an Arab household, you don't really talk about emotions.
Mm.
So it wasn't like I could just like go up to my mom and be like, oh, I'm depressed. And so she's going to be like, oh, come here, honey. Like, it's okay. Not that like my mom's not like a loving person or like that she doesn't care. It's just like culturally, like illness there is like physical. So like having like a mental illness just like does not really compute.
Sure.
I mean, she gets it now. She gets it now for sure. But like back then it would have just been like, okay, just like go outside, eat a banana, drink some water.
Sure. I get it. And so you were kind of somewhat forced to be independent. And so this was kind of your own way of handling it yourself. And luckily, of course, I know you went to the therapy and that was helping as well, but then you found exercise and then that started to snowball your mental health, at least in a better direction. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that. It's like making all of like these behavioral, like lifestyle changes rather than, there was a lot of medication thrown at me and it just got to a point where I was like, I feel really numb and I'm not living.
Mm.
And it's like, I just didn't feel anything at that point. It's like, is this really like how I want to live the rest of my life? Like, do I just want to be on medication feeling numb? And I'm not saying that like medication is bad or that you should take medication if you're prescribed it. But for me personally, it just didn't work for me.
Mm. Well, first, thank you for sharing that stuff with us. But also, with the exercise, like what feeling did the exercise give you? Like, when did you notice? So like real quick, for me, it was just like, whenever I started to notice that my my efforts started to lead towards a positive result that I had been like yearning for. So it's just like the input of me putting in hard work will give me this outcome that I'm looking for. And I knew that it was in my hands alone. Like I could be self-sufficient in this goal that I was trying to reach. That was a big confidence booster and like very empowering to myself. So I'm wondering, did you have a moment, like after you hit a deadlift PR of certain, like if you hit 225 on deadlifts or something, you were like, fuck yeah, that's, I feel amazing. Was there any moment like that or was it a gradual kind of progression?
I think the first time that I hit like 135 on squat, which I know isn't like a huge deal, but like it was just like
it absolutely is.
Big girl.
Don't downgrade it. Don't downgrade it. It absolutely is. I remember the first time I got 135 and 225 on squats.
All right. I mean, thank you for that reframe.
I got you.
But just getting the big girl plates on there and like hitting that for reps, I was like, okay, all right, we're doing things. We're doing things. But I think it's just that feeling of, especially when you do struggle with depression, just that you can do these hard things. And when you're able to do things in the gym and like really just like trust that process, and like show up for yourself, you know, a couple times a week to get your training done, that translates to like how you do other things in your life, right? Because you're like, okay, I could do that in the gym. Let me do this like life thing.
Yes.
Life's a little bit more complicated. You know, it's not a linear progression. It's a little chaotic, but like, these are lessons that I could bring with me elsewhere. Like I really do think that like how you do one thing translates in how you do other things. Maybe not everything, but a lot of things. Like how you show up for yourself in one domain of your life is going to translate into how you show up for yourself in other domains of your life.
Right. I would 100% agree. All right. So then moving forward in the timeline. So then you started lifting weights, you started to get this positive, your mental health started to improve a little bit. And so then after that, just like, when were you like, I'm going to be a fitness coach? Like after, like during college, were you studying to be a coach or like anything in the fitness industry? Like when did that transition happen?
Yeah. So in college, I was actually studying neuroscience. The plan was to do the neuro thing, work in a lab, apply to grad school, get a PhD, you know, do the academic life. But when I went into that life, I just realized it was just very toxic and like not it for me personally. So I left. And I guess I went all in on Stronger Girls and fitness modeling. But before that, like when I was still in college, I was teaching like an intro to powerlifting PE class. And I really enjoyed that. I taught like a strength and conditioning class for the Middlebury Boxing Club. I taught powerlifting and like strength and conditioning for like the women's rugby team. And these were things that I really enjoyed, but I like never saw myself making a career out of them. One, because like I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. But then I look back on like things like exchanging personal training sessions for meal swipes because I didn't have a meal plan. I'm like, girl, you've been an entrepreneur since like day one. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. I love that. Okay. All right. So that, okay. Yeah, no, that's hilarious. I love that. I started my training business through Snapcash, like on Snapchat, like literally whenever you could send the money just through Snapcash. Now it's the Cash App, right? They have a whole app around it, but it used to just be through Snapchat. And that was my payment processor. So no, I love that type of shit. all right. So then, well, I have to ask, what did your parents think about, because you said that they had, I'm assuming they were probably hoping you would do the PhD thing whenever you were like, hey, instead I'm going to do the fitness thing. Like, if you don't care sharing, like what was kind of the, what was their thoughts on that?
I mean, I haven't openly talked to them about it. I kind of just like did it and I was like, I got to do this for me. I can't live a miserable life. Like, that's not a way to live life, especially like if I have the power to change it. I mean, there's like definitely some disappointment. And like from time to time, I'll get asked like, oh, when are you going back to school? Like little nudges. I'm like, never. I just tell them. So there's this saying in Arabic called inshallah, which means like God willing, God permitting. And basically, like, if you ask your parents for something, they're like, oh, inshallah, like, you know, one day. So I flipped it back on them. And they asked me if I'm going to grad school. I'm like, inshallah. So Arabic lesson of the day.
No, that's amazing. That's incredible. Because yeah, I didn't know that. But that's I like asking that because you know I talk with other people for you know from tons of different cultures, but I think that hearing. That's a big part, especially like if you do want to, at least for me, like I've always wanted to make my parents proud, to live up to their expectations. And I, my brother is like a pharmacist and things, right? So I had some, and he's now like a CEO, COO of his company or of a company. And it's just like, I always had those big shoes to fill. And so I always wanted to make sure that this thing would work. And so I think I was so worried about disappointing them that I made sure everything in my power by the time I was done with college and getting my RD that I was able to like be self-sustainable, at least in the short term with this career. So I think it's cool. It's kind of, it's like you said, whenever it's your own happiness kind of on the line, you're kind of more inclined to give it your all, you know?
Yeah, I definitely say so.
And then, so is that, or have we moved all the way forward now? So after you went through the powerlifting, then you started getting into coaching. How long have you been doing the coaching now?
Unofficially since college. Like I had like a handful of online clients. I was doing like the Excel programming for powerlifting, helping folks out with their macros, that sort of thing. But like more officially, I'd say 2 years now. Since I started Stronger Girls, yeah, 2 years. I can
right
do
on.
Math.
Yeah, there you go. And so have you been enjoying the, like, because I know you said that you didn't think that you didn't want to do entrepreneurship, but now, or have you, I'm assuming, it looks like you're having fun with what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I love what I do. I think I was just really scared to do it because it felt like other people could do it, but I couldn't do it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have like a business background per se. So that was like a big scary thing, like going in tax forms, that sort of thing. Like that big scary stuff. Like I just wanted to help people. I wanted to help women just really become the strongest version of themselves. And like, I didn't want to deal with all this other stuff, but in order to do that, I need to deal with all this other stuff. And I think it's become like the sort of like growth process. I don't know. I feel like starting a business is like a big form of self-development.
Oh,
right. Like you grow as the business grows.
Yes. Yeah. You have to, or else the business doesn't grow. Right. Because, but you're absolutely right. As far as the amount of hats that you have to wear within a business, right. You're like, you have to be the salesman, the marketing person, the customer service, right. Like all of these different things. It's like you don't, and whenever you first sign up, you're like, cool, I'm going to make workout plans and nutrition plans for people. But it's just like, no, you don't understand. Like there's so many other things as well. And it makes you, especially whenever your livelihood's on the line, like it makes you grow up very quickly. If you want it to work, right?
I want this to work.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And so, well then tell me about Stronger Girls. Like what was kind of, did you have that in mind based off of your past? Like how did that, what was the genesis of Stronger Girls and like, why did you want to make it?
I guess it sort of just started off with like friends being like, hey, Sal, like, you know, like you're doing this gym thing, like you're a strong girl. I'm like really strong. You're this, you're that. I'm like, oh no, I'm like a stronger girl. Like I'm not strong. Like I'm a stronger girl. And next thing I knew, I was filing the copyright for it. And now we're here. But
that's great.
All jokes aside.
I love it.
All jokes aside. I realized that I wanted to give women the same sort of empowerment, confidence, self-efficacy, autonomy that lifting weights gave to me. So I was like, okay, how can I do that? And I guess I found one-to-one coaching, started doing, you know, high touch one-to-one coaching. Now I have a group program where I'm able to like reach even more women and share that message. And I think just like recognizing that it's like not me empowering women, but me giving them the tools to empower themselves. Cause like the word empowerment, right? That's like to give power back. So to give power back, you gotta take it away. So just really giving women the tools to empower themselves through strength inside and out. Cause it's not just like this, you know, we're gonna go to the gym and lift weights. It's like everything else, right? Like the lifestyle, sleep, stress, all these like behaviors, habits, biofeedback, like that's really important to look at. Mindset, like I got my clients meditating, which is like really cool. Journaling, that sort of thing. Doing like all the woo-woo stuff. So
hey,
it's like,
listen, we're all about the woo-woo stuff here at the More Than Fitness Podcast. We'll touch on all of it, I promise. Because I'm about that stuff too.
Wait, I didn't know this. Wait, what kind of like woo-woo stuff? Are we getting into a rabbit hole here?
We can do whatever we want. I talk about journaling and meditation on multiple different podcasts, but it's something that because it goes back to, I feel like it helps with the self-acceptance aspect, and it helps with the self-awareness aspect. And it just, as far as reflecting on just like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I yearning and desiring for these certain things? I think it helps really put those things in perspective. And for me, I see journaling more as like active meditation, right? That's how I see journaling, and then meditation is actually just a different form of that. But yeah, no, I'm all about it, and I think that encouraging clients to at least giving them the option, be like, hey, maybe this would be beneficial for you. So would you say meditation and journaling, those are some of the tools that you have your clients do?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the person. If I see that a client might benefit from like brain dumping or just like gratitude list or like that sort of thing, then I'll talk them about it and be like, hey, is this something that you'd be open to? I think it'd be really helpful. And giving them the option rather than just being like, you need to do this right now. Cause I don't know, that just like, that doesn't make for the experience. Like, it kind of kills the vibe.
Yes.
That I'm going for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely kills the vibe that you're going for. That's funny. Okay. What are some other, because I feel like do you take more of like a habit-based approach with your clients, like a daily process goal type thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What are some of those?
So things like mindful eating, daily walks, getting enough water, just things that are going to be sustainable in the long term, right? Like, I don't do like detoxes. I don't do like quick fixes. It's how can I help you get to your goals in a way that's good for like long-term human health and performance, in a way that's going to be sustainable. So even after we stop working together, you're able to keep those habits up. Cause at this point, it's not just like, you know, we're like here to drop a couple pounds or to like put more weight on our deadlift. It's more about like that long-term approach to things. And that's something that I've been like moving more towards as a coach.
No, that makes sense. Because like I was saying before, we hopped on here, I feel like, the way that we stand on certain topics and things and our morals and the goals that we have for our clients are very similar, but the way that we go about those goals, sorry, can't talk, is a little bit different. Because like with a lot of my clients, I will have them track calories or macros or their weight, or just certain variables of that, right? We have like a calorie range each day. We have like a protein minimum. We have like a fiber minimum. I think it's more like I might get a little bit more objective with some of my measures. But with you, I think that by focusing on these certain habit goals and things on a regular basis, so getting in more walks, eating more mindfully, right? All of these different things, the byproduct is not only probably some type of body composition differences, right? So probably losing some fat and gaining some muscle, but also just feeling better in general. And I like the focus being on, hey, how can we not just like hit a calorie goal, but how can we eat in a way that makes us feel the best for our overall well-being for today, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's not to say that I don't have some clients like track calories or like macros or protein, but I think just figuring out what's going to work best for that person. And then more about the habit-based stuff to like help them, like using a combo of both to help them get closer to their goals. Yeah, but like many ways to, I hate the saying, but many ways to skin a cat.
Yes. Yeah.
Like who came up with that saying? Like we couldn't have had like another.
Somebody who hates cats apparently, and I don't like them. So that's where the saying comes
from. I'm not a cat person. So.
Well, that's a fight that we're going to have another day, because that's very near and dear to my heart. I do love cats. So we can have this conversation another day, off air. But no, I totally agree. I think that's the key, right? I think what happens is too many times coaches will try to fit their method, or they'll try and fit the client to their methods as opposed to fitting their methods to the individual client, right? For some people, it might make sense to track out. Like I have very analytical and rational minded people that come, and they love the data aspect of things. Maybe they work with data or something like that. So they love seeing the objective changes on a regular basis, right? So for them, they eat up the calorie counting and everything like that. But with other people, whenever they come to me and they're like, hey, I, you know, have a negative relationship with the scale, I've been yo-yo dieting, all these different things. Well, then it's just like, okay, then maybe it does make sense to do a more habit-based approach, right?
Yeah. No, like you said, you got to see, I mean, it's all about like knowing your client as a person. I feel like that's such a big part of our job, right? Like it's not just coaching per se, it's peopling, like understanding humans, what makes them tick, human communication, that sort of thing. Like if you can't talk to your people and you can't do that well, then it's really hard to be a good coach. Like you could have all the certifications in the world, like the best methods, everything's evidence-based, but if you can't communicate that to your people, then like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's one of your strong suits, is like connecting and being relatable with your clients?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm a pretty open book with my clients. Like that's something I really try to do, because I know that by sharing my story, sometimes can give people permission to share their story, and their hardships, and just like really talk about that. And I think there's like a lot of power in community and like building community, right? Because it's really hard to grow on our own, to heal on our own. But like when you open yourself up to help from others, then I think that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think whenever you have a community of kind of like-minded people or like-hearted people, I feel like it can only make reaching that goal a little bit easier for everyone. And especially if you're sharing stories, if you're sharing obstacles that you need to overcome and things, I think that it can only be helpful for the overall environment, you know?
Yeah. Like in my 8-week strength and physique group, we have live Zoom calls, and we also have this group chat that's like always popping. Like hotline is blinging nonstop with that group chat. But like somebody will post a struggle and be like, hey, like I tried on a swimsuit today and like I didn't feel great in it. And like we'll talk about it and we'll hype each other up and we'll be like, girl, like wear that swimsuit, like who cares what other people think. And it's just like this like community of like 15-20 women just like hyping you up. And the same thing for like our calls. Like we had a call recently where one of the women had been doing a keto diet, and she'd been CrossFitting for like the past 2 years. So she wasn't eating any carbs and she was CrossFitting. I know your brain's about to explode right now.
No, it's all good. That's so common though. Like that pairing, CrossFit and keto, is a very common pairing.
But like, why?
I know it shouldn't be, but it is. Yeah.
Things that shouldn't be, but are.
Right.
And we were talking about like how hard it was for her to just like eat, because it like she just wasn't eating enough for so long, and like how it became like a scary thing to just like eat carbs. So just like having the group to like talk about it, and other women who had been like in my group program before, and like they had gotten their macros and been like, okay, we gotta eat how many carbs? And like I've never eaten like this much food before. I'm like, it's gonna be okay, you gotta eat. And like because they've been through that process, they're like, okay, here's what you're gonna do, try this. Like when you eat the food, you're gonna feel better, your lifts are gonna go up. Because like they could hear it from me as many times as they want, right? But I think having other people who have gone through it is so much more powerful.
Yeah. Do you notice that their attitude changes after maybe they reach some of these goals that you're talking about? So as far as their lifts going up, them feeling better, then do they start to like, quote unquote, like believe you more about eating more carbs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. For yeah. sure. Yeah. I mean, like I had one of my current clients message me, and she was like, you know, Sal, I wasn't about it when you like gave me those macros and like I saw how many carbs I had to eat. And like I thought I was gonna gain weight and like not feel good, and like, you know, like the program just seemed kind of boring, you know, it was just like this progressive overload kind of thing. And then like a month later, she's like, I feel great. Like I did a bikini photo shoot. Like I dumped my toxic boyfriend. Like it was just,
yeah.
When you eat carbs, you glow up. That's my new motto.
I love it. The carbs equal the glow up in all different areas, you know?
Yes.
That's absolutely it. Well, cool. No, I absolutely agree, because I think that's what I've noticed with some of my clients, because you can absolutely educate all day long and they can know, hey, carbs are great for performance. You know, you need them for whatever, glucose in the brain, et cetera, all these fun little facts or whatever. But I think until their old beliefs become challenged with like new results, you see what I'm saying? So like they think that these carbs are going to make them fat, they're going to do X, Y, and Z, and they have them, and then they're like, okay. Sometimes I feel like that's good, because then it can then question a lot of things. They could have like a fitness existential crisis, because they're like, oh, okay, so I once thought that carbs were the devil, and then now I'm having carbs, I feel better, I look better, my performance is better, and now it's just like, what else was I wrong about, you know?
Yeah, I'm laughing because that was my fitness existential crisis when like I left the powerlifting world. I was like, what do you mean powerlifting is like the best thing in the world?
Oh, right.
And I started like doing like the power building thing, and like I was like, wait, I'm not injured all the time, like I feel good, there's no just like weird aches and pains, like wait, is this like my new normal?
Yeah. Did you ever compete in powerlifting?
Yeah, I competed a few times. I actually this week I signed up for a meet.
Okay. Oh, that's
like it's been like four or five years. It's time. My friend Jim's hosting a meet. So I was like, let me do it. Like, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So when is it? How far away is it? Or how far in the future is it?
We are 10 and a half weeks out. It is September 25th and 26th. It's the virtual meet by Zao Strength. So I'm going to be running their program. And then I'm actually going to be traveling during that time. So it's going to be a process to like figure out my nutrition, my training, that sort of thing. And then competing. You ever brought like a powerlifting belt through like airport security?
No, I have not.
I thought it's gonna be a fun process.
It sounds interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like you've been randomly selected, and it's not because you're brown.
Right. It's because of this massive leather belt you've got in your bag, and we're not sure what it's for.
Well, what's the substance on your knee sleeves? Why do they smell like that?
Oh man, knee sleeves. I had a pair of knee sleeves in my bag for a very long time, because I used to be much more, I feel like the old guy now. Back in my day, you know, I used to be able to lift so, but no, literally like I started in powerlifting as well. I never competed, but it was more for football, right? I was in strength. And then after football was over, I was like, okay, I want to focus more on my physique. And that's whenever I got into bodybuilding. But what I'm wondering for you is like, with this new with this competition, do you find that it makes you tighter in every other area of your life as well? Because like whenever you have this fitness goal, that means and you have this competition, right? You want to prepare for it on a weekly basis. So you want to make sure you get in your training sessions at the specified times. There's more pressure on you in the fitness realm of your life. So then that makes sure that your time management, say, for other things in life is heightened as well, right?
I want to say yes, but I'm at a point in my life where I just kind of like go with the flow of things. Because I used to be like really, I guess, strict with my nutrition, especially with like fitness modeling. Like I needed to have a certain physique in order to book jobs. And then I realized I just like enjoying like the local cuisine when I'm traveling, like that sort of thing. Like I was tired of like carrying around a food scale and like, you know, just like eating the same foods. So I just don't do it anymore. I just kind of just like eat whatever and enjoy my life. And like, it took me like a really long time to get to that point. I think the same thing with like this meet, like I'm not like, my goal is just like compete for fun. Like I'm like hitting a PR would be nice, right? Like, okay, low key, I do want to hit this 315 deadlift. we're going to see if it's going to happen. Like I have goals, but I'm not, I guess, restricting my life or making certain parts of my life smaller to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to fit it into my life, right? Like I go to the gym anyways. So that's going to be when I do my powerlifting training. I have a daily goal to hit a certain amount of protein to like support my training, support like my day-to-day life, like water, sleep, keeping stress levels low. That's the hard part, like just the stress levels, but I'm not, yeah, like maybe in the past I would have been like, okay, we got to like have like these certain macros so I can like lift in like this weight class so I can like qualify for like nationals, which like I never did. Cause like I was never like that strong.
Sure.
But, now I'm just like, I'm doing this for fun. I'm doing this for me. And I think there's like different seasons for fitness in your life. Right. Like, especially like when I was a little bit like more focused on modeling,
mm-hmm.
like that during that season, I was like, you know, like tracking macros, like making sure I hit every single training session, like sleep was on point, like, you know, caffeine was max 2 cups of coffee per day, that sort of thing. And now I eat, I go to the gym, I lift, and some days I'll track, some days I won't track. I just like giving myself a little bit of space to embrace that. And it's not to say that like, it's easy or anything. I mean, like my physique has definitely changed. And I think as a woman, like when your body changes after like all the bullshit that like we're fed by the media to like look a certain way or like be a certain way, like that's definitely been hard, but I'd rather be happy and eat what I want to eat and like have stress be lowered on that front. And like have like less of a leaner physique. So that's where I'm at with this.
No, that makes complete sense. And I agree with the seasons as well. I think this is where somewhat what we were talking about beforehand as far as like how moderation can still be a form of I think just I think especially with a lot of coaches today, we can talk about sustainability with fat loss and things, but what ends up happening is that people are just constantly in this kind of like gray area of like kind of dieting, kind of not dieting. So they're not like fully enjoying life and just not paying attention as much. Of course, I'm not saying to just not care about your health whatsoever. However, you don't need to track calories forever, right? You don't need to do certain things forever. Whereas like you said, with seasons, maybe it makes sense for a 6 to 12 week period, like, hey, maybe we are gonna buckle down a little bit. You said that this goal, you said that this goal was important to you. So it's like, this may be our best path of getting there for these next 6 to 12 weeks. But then after that, it's like, then you just go back to, like you said, just enjoying life. And I think that can be hard for some people to accept whenever you, like you said, we're constantly put into this diet culture or just kind of, always needing to look a certain way or not eat certain things or whatever. I think that that's something that you talk about really well and your message with people really well. And I think it's important balance with the constant dieting mentality that is out there a lot with some of these coaches.
No, I appreciate how you phrased that. That was really well said.
Thank you. Mic drop. There it is. No, that's perfect. But I think that like powerlifting, like you said, like having some type of little competition like this and not taking it to the extremes and trying to do a big weight cut or something like that, or trying to put all this pressure on yourself whenever, like you said, you're just like, I'm going to the gym anyway, so I might as well, like, I have this goal that I'm doing, so I'm gonna make use of my time. I'm gonna make strength my number one goal right now in the gym. And it's just like, that's all you really need to do, you know? And then other than that, you're going to eat to fulfillment and for enjoyment. And you want to enjoy the local cuisine. And it's like, I think that it's just often you can do both, right? You can take care of your body and take care of your health and all these different things, and also enjoy yourself, right? And I think that's what the majority of your life should be. And then maybe other periods of short periods of focused times, maybe that could be centered around more of like a fat loss goal or a weight loss goal or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think like living a life where you're just constantly dieting or constantly just focused on like the next phase of fitness, unless you're like if you're an athlete, it's different, right? If you're an athlete.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe some type of models. Cool. But for like the average gym goer, I think it should be about like complimenting your life, enjoying your life, and not taking away from it, right? Like, if you can't eat like birthday cake at like your kid's birthday party because of a diet, like, what are you doing?
Right.
Unless like you personally don't want to, or unless like you don't eat gluten and like dairy and like you gotta.
Sure.
That's a different story.
Watch out for the birthday cake. Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. So did you have trouble making the transition? Because you were talking about how whenever you were doing the modeling and things, you were weighing things out, you were using the food scale more. Did you struggle to go from essentially like tracking and being more obsessive with things to a more relaxed approach?
I wouldn't say it was obsessive. It was more just like having data. Right?
Yes, not so obsessive, but like focused with these data points.
I was definitely more focused on it. I was like traveling and like my first job would be like Whole Foods and like I grocery shop and like either cook all my meals or like have like a meal prep company delivered. If I went out, you know, just like eyeball things. But I think it was like a few weeks ago, I was in Miami and then I had gone. I was just like back to back traveling between like shoots and like work and everything. And I ended up in Mexico and I was like, I didn't bring my food scale. I'm like, I'm not weighing anything. Like, I'm in Mexico. Let me just enjoy my time. Like, I've never been here before. And like, yeah, like at that point my body had changed. I was like less lean. Like it felt different in a swimsuit, but like I was still my badass self. So like, who cares, right?
Right.
Like, it was just like recognizing that and like being okay with it. And I think that's the hardest thing to do. But I guess it like happened like seamlessly in terms of just like me going back and forth between like all these cities. And it was just kind of just like, okay, I'm jammed. Like, I know what I should be eating. I know what I should be doing. I'll try to do that as best as I can, but I'm also going to enjoy foods that are here, because like, when's the next time I'm going to be like hanging out in Mexico?
Right. Of course. I think that where people run into trouble is whenever they maybe have their identity wrapped up in the way that they look, which can be very difficult that's why I was curious about going from modeling, and not saying that, you know, models are just generally obsessed with like how they look or anything, but you got to pay a little bit more attention. And so I was thinking as you move forward, no, don't worry. As you move forward, it's just like that can be difficult to kind of give up those same expectations that you maybe had for your modeling self, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of the times we can wrap ourselves up in the identities that we might prescribe ourselves to, or like the world prescribes ourselves to.
Yeah.
And like, I had gone through that with like my neuroscience journey. I was like so wrapped up in like this idea of like being a scientist, that I think that was like one of like the hardest things for me to like get over. Mm. That like now I'm just like, I'm me.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Well, that's good. I feel like that's a message that a lot of people need to hear, despite, you know, shape, size, whatever, moving away from aesthetics in general. And that's something that's the line that I'm always trying to balance with my content, because This was like the argument that I had with that one girl on my Instagram about the fat loss accelerator that I have, because I understand, you know, there can be stigma around fat loss or losing fat really quickly. But the thing is like, that's also one thing that gets more people through the door that really need to hear the message that like I'm putting out there. You know, it's just like, I think sometimes, and this is the analogy that I used with, it's like sometimes you have to put the medicine in peanut butter so that, you know, that the dog will eat it, right? It's just like sometimes that's what you have to wrap these things up in, so that you can kind of Trojan horse these people with the message that you want them to on, you know, self-acceptance and just like all of these things that, sure, the fat loss can be the vehicle to building more self-confidence, being more empowered, being more just happy in general with who you are as a person. regardless of the shape and size. I think it's just like people initially think that they want the, they come for the fat loss, but then they stay for the type of person that they become on their journey to losing fat, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I definitely get what you're saying, especially like on Instagram or anything like that. Like you can spend like hours creating content. But like if you share something about like, okay, here's how to do this sustainably for like long-term health, you're going to get like 3.5 likes. One of them's going to be your mom.
Exactly. Mom, right.
So it's like this balance of like, how can I do this with integrity, with authenticity, but still keeping that message intact. And I think it's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely. No, it definitely is. I think it's something that, like I said, our messages align in many ways. And I think that's something that we're both trying to do. Okay, so as I think we're coming up close. I do want to know though, like, I like asking this question sometimes, like, what is exciting you about the future? I know you have the powerlifting competition. This could be business related, this could be personal related, but just like, what's something that's exciting you that's coming up?
There's so much. Some stuff I can't talk about just yet. That's a secret project happening.
Sure.
I'm doing a swimsuit shoot in LA next week, like the next 2 weeks. And like, this is like the first shoot that I like haven't like intentionally cut for. So it's just me like showing up, doing the thing. It's with a photographer that I did my first photo shoot with like before the modeling days. And it was just like this really awkward session. Cause like, I just like didn't believe in myself. I had like no confidence. I think it was like, this was like the midway point of like my weight loss journey. So it's going to be really cool to come back like 5 or 6 years later and shoot with the same photographer and like completely different mindset. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. No, that'll be good. I'm excited to hear how that goes. I'm sure you'll be posting and all that kind of fun stuff, right?
Me on my stories.
Yeah.
Island hopping.
Yeah, exactly. You're an island hopper. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, cool. Sal, this has been wonderful. Let's see, where can people find out more about you and then also the Strong Her Girls program?
Yeah, of course. So you can find me on Instagram at Sal Naflawi. I'm sure Matt is going to have this properly spelled in the show notes.
Got it.
You can also find us at Strong Her Girls, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, StrongHerGirls.com. I do one-to-one coaching, so women who are looking to improve their long-term health, performance, build sustainable habits for the long term so they can really live like a strong life inside and out. Also do a group coaching program called Strength and Physique. We're going to be starting back up in September. So if you're interested in that, get on the wait list. And yeah, thank you for having me on this, Matt. This was a really enjoyable conversation. I think we talked about a lot of topics. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. That's typically how it goes. I touch on quite a few things. I like to go through the timeline and then down any other rabbit holes that we find. But no, I think people will find it useful for sure. Definitely everybody go check her out. I will have all the links and things in the description. Go follow her on Instagram, send her a message, watch her lols every single day.
Take a law. And tag me.
There you go. It's perfect. All right. And I think that is it. Sal, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to chat again soon.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.